Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
And Whittle. Welcome to the show, everybody. Earful in the Emerald City. You're listening right now. Thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate you being here with us on our last show of January, the year being 2016. Can you believe this shit, man? We're already 1 month into this fucking year. I've barely done anything. I've barely made my bed at this point, and we're 1 month in.
We're almost close to fucking Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
Also known as Single Awareness Day.
Oh, my God. We'll save that. I mean, we'll get into that shit later. Holy shit. This is Slim here, by the way. About to go toe-to-toe with my boy over here, Shoddy, who has already introduced himself. How you doing, good sir?
What up, Mickey Feekies? I'm here.
He's feeling it, folks. He's feeling it. You guys are in for a good one here.
Yeah.
We're about to get into it, you guys. Yeah. We are about to get into it, but first we're going to start with a little bit of playback from the weekend that has been, a.k.a. the Weekend Rewind. Fucking A. What was going on this week? Oh, man, we had a... God, you know, it was... Being somebody from Seattle, being up here, being a Hawks fan, it was a pretty somber weekend, I got to say. No Hawks football. It's a little sad.
I know,
it's
man.
A little sad. This something we're not used to at
the
this
fact,
moment.
Well, it's only been 2 years.
That's true, but you know, it's feeling good there.
I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. That it sucks that there was no Hawks football last week, and we had to watch the team that we almost came back against destroy the Arizona Cardinals, the team that
goodness.
We destroyed the last week of the regular season.
Posers.
Yeah. Man, the Cardinals looked like they looked like poo.
Oh my. Well,
they looked like poo. I hate to say it.
Yeah, well, we definitely could have smashed those Cardinals too. I mean, I know it's and the thing is it's tough to say. It's tough to say how good Carolina was playing versus how bad Arizona was playing, you know? I mean, who do you give the credit to here? I know for sure I don't want to give it to Cam Newton. That's one thing I'm positive of. I don't want to give him the credit, whether he deserves it or not. I don't want to do that. But, yeah, it's like, who do you put it on? I don't know. That was surprising. But I tell you, that AFC game, did you see that one?
Yeah, that was a really interesting game. We saw Peyton Manning and in a different kind of role, going from playmaker where he's throwing 300-400 yards a game with 3 or 4 touchdowns a game to a game manager where he's just making the right decisions, you know, enough right decisions to get his team to victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a tremendous defense to fall back on there. After we smashed them in the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure they made it a point to beef up their defense more than anything. You know, they didn't score at all, but I think they still recognized that their defense was a priority to fix, and they definitely did. And yeah, he's got a good defense to fall back on, a fucking good defense. And you're right, all he's got to do is manage the game, not make any mistakes, and pick up a couple of first downs when they need them, you know? Get a drive or two together. One drive per half, you know? Your defense is playing that solid. 17, 20, 21 points just might do it. I mean, New England really couldn't get anything going. Tom Brady even admitted that afterwards. They couldn't get into a rhythm. I mean, they're a good team. They got good players, so they were sticking in it till the end. No question about that, and I give them a lot of credit. They dealt with a ton of injuries this year, and still they were right there again, right there in the mix, and you know, one score away from getting to another Super Bowl. So just that 2-point conversion right at the end, that's all it came down to.
I feel like a person that doesn't get a lot of credit for that Broncos defense is the defensive coordinator himself, Wade fucking Phillips.
Oh my God.
No, man. I mean, the Broncos defense was, they had the talent to be a great defense. You have that amazing secondary with Akid Twali and Chris Harris Jr. and the two, and probably the best outside linebacker duo in the league with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. But you know, they needed that defensive coordinator who could put those huge pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Wade Phillips, you know, forget what he did in Dallas, especially his last season in Dallas, where that was just one huge debacle. But if you give him the responsibility as a defensive coordinator, I swear to God, he can turn any defense into fucking gold.
Well, they're certainly proving it at this point, right when they need it. I mean, you're holding Tom Brady and the Patriots, you know, they had 12 points for most of the game. They scored that last touchdown to give them a chance to tie it up, but just came up short. And yeah, I think you're right. I think that linebacker duo, they're wreaking havoc. I mean, Miller had a couple of sacks, I believe.
He's the first player, I think, in NFL postseason history to sack Tom Brady in and intercept Tom Brady in the same game.
Yeah. Tom Brady was actually, for once in a long time, he was under more distress on the field than he's been in distress in his personal life recently. So that was kind of an uncomfortable situation.
Wow.
For him, and he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. You know, it was too much. He's been dealing with a lot off the field. My mom's like getting into it to me. I was talking football with her, and she asks one question, and then the conversation drifts to, yeah, well, you know about that Tom Brady, you know his marriage is it's in shambles right now. It's just a mess.
Is it really a mess?
Oh, dude, that's all she does is read the rag sheets. I mean, who knows? It's the fucking National Enquirer. She is their source here. So, you know, take that with the biggest grain of salt that you've ever seen in your entire life. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe. I don't know. They had that big mansion and they sold the fucking which, who the fuck needs a goddamn, like, 25,000 square foot mansion? Who needs that? What are you guys even thinking?
I do.
You guys know what the upkeep on that is? You know how many employees you need to keep that shit looking good? You think Giselle's going to be out there in the garden pulling fucking weeds anytime soon?
Come on.
You know, you got to have a normal sized person's house just to house all the people that work for your fucking place. So they did that. I think that, who knows? Maybe that was the peak of their relationship, and maybe it's been downhill since then. Who knows? That's tough falling back, you know, once you reach that superstar level. And plus, she's making like twice as much money as him, dude. You know, that's gotta take a little shot.
Is she
on his
really
ego.
I thought he was the breadwinner.
Well, you'd think when you brought in about $150 million for your career, you'd think he'd be the major breadwinner, but surprisingly, in this situation, he's not. I think she's worth something in the threes, something like 365 or something like that.
What?
Yeah, hasn't thrown one touchdown pass in her entire career. Her joints, her knees are probably great. You know, everything works great on her. She's not getting sacked by 260-pound men.
No, she's getting sacked by a 220-pound man.
He's probably on bottom every time, dude. He's probably, oh, babe, I just want to lay down. I just want to relax. All right, just let me lay down, please.
Oh, man.
Think of it, though. Her body is in almost perfect shape. She's going to Paris to get fucking plastic surgery, okay? Not only is her body in good shape, she's trying to make it artificially good shape.
Why is she getting plastic surgery for?
Who? I don't. Cause she,
why?
Because she's protecting her fucking investment. She's protecting that moneymaker. She knows her job is to look good. That is literally her job. And she's been paid hundreds of millions of dollars to do that. To look good.
But why? Look at
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
Look at her.
But why?
Why?
But why?
Why?
She got in trouble too because she was wearing a burqa over in over in France.
What the fuck's a burqa?
You know, the Muslim woman wear that covers everything but their face.
Why does she get in trouble for that?
Because you're not allowed to in France. What? That's a law that they have there. They think it's degrading to women or whatever. However they justify
that. Oh my gosh!
And so she got caught because she was trying to be sneaky. She was trying to be sneaky and she got caught. And it's like you're breaking the law at that point. Technically, I mean, I know you're just trying to stay undercover and protect your career here, but you could have found a little bit better way to do it. Could have found a little bit better way. Things have been a little, I don't know if you've seen lately, Giselle, but things between the French people and Muslims have been a little bit tense over the past, 12 to 18 months. Things got a little crazy over there. So got to be a little considerate. actually, you know what? I say that though. It might have even been before that happened. That was a little while ago. But
yeah.
But nonetheless, that bitch is worth some serious cake. Some serious cake. But sorry for Tommy. Hey, you got to give them some respect, man. They dealt with a lot, and they were in this game. They tie it up there. Who knows what's going to happen if they get that 2-point? But it was such a drag for them to get all the way down the field. I think it took so much energy, and I just think they ran out. And like you said, that defense is good. So it'll be a fun Super Bowl. I was telling you earlier, I got half of the prediction for the Super Bowl right.
I think my prediction went down the fucking toilet.
Yeah,
I predicted a rematch from 10 years ago, Steelers and the Seahawks. Steelers went into the divisional game injured and not at 100%, and they only lost by what, like 5, 6, 7 points?
Yeah, I think it was one score.
Yeah, and the our Seahawks almost came back. Almost came back. They were down by a fucking touchdown.
I know. It's still insane.
They lost by a fucking touchdown.
We had a chance to tie. I forgot that onsider. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, got the shitty part of the Super Bowl prediction right, but, hey, got that. I guess it's worth something.
Yes, so Panthers and Broncos. I got the Panthers by 21 points.
God damn it. By 21? Jesus Christ. We might have to put a little wager on this.
Because I honestly think that this is a bad matchup for the Broncos. Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator, he's got some homework to do for the next, now, week and a half.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be putting in the hours.
Oh, because Cam Newton, he not only he can beat you with his arm, but he can beat you with his legs. And, the pass rush, you can't rely on that pass rush because, like I said, Cam Newton can beat you with his legs.
Yeah, I just cannot get on this guy's side. I don't care what he does. I don't care how many fucking footballs he gives to underprivileged teams.
Were you that fan that started the petition?
No. Oh my God. No, I'm not that much of a douche. I mean, I'm definitely a douche, but not that big. What you were talking about that earlier, though.
Oh my gosh. And this fan is making us all look like fucking pussies. He started a petition. To ban Cam Newton from CenturyLink Field next season.
Who are you fighting for here? As much as I don't like the guy, and as much as he pisses me off when he's on the sidelines and he's dancing and he's jumping up and down and he's giving footballs to kids and everybody's giving him credit for being a fucking hero, like he's done something so hard walking over to the rail and giving the football to a kid. As much as I hate all that, you want to shut him up and you do it on the field. That's how you do it. If our fucking offense would have done anything in the first half of that game, we would have shut him up on the end of the field and at the end of the game, and he wouldn't have been dancing. He wouldn't have been jumping up and down. He wouldn't have been doing anything. We had our chance to fucking show him what's up, and unfortunately, we came up a little short. So it's just shit like this that makes us all look like such douches. And it, oh I mean, I guess that's just how it goes when your team gets popular and you get a big fan base and you got a lot of people. I mean, there's going to be some dirtbags within that group, and there's going to be some punk bitches, and here you go. Perfect example.
It's ridiculous, but I don't agree with the fucking petition. It like I said, it makes us look like fucking wusses, and I think the next time he comes in here, we shut him and the Panthers up for good.
I mean, that's the thing. We've had our year. They've had their year now. So next year rolls around, playoff time. Who knows? Maybe we'll be 1-2 seed in the NFC next year. And then, yeah, maybe that'll be the rubber match, and we'll see who the real, truly dominant team is at that point. I mean, that's what we have to hope for at this point, now that our team is fucking out for the year. We got to hope that they make a comeback next year, and we're looking good. But yeah, it's, you know, they've had a good run. It's been a couple of years in the playoffs now in a row, and hopefully they can keep going for one or two more years. And Carolina, I'm guessing they'll probably be pretty good next year too. I don't think anything will change too much. They'll probably lose a couple of players. You know, that always happens when you go to the Super Bowl. But yeah, who knows? This rivalry that's been brewing here is certainly not been. It's not done being decided yet. You know, and I think it's pretty close at the moment. We got a Super Bowl championship, so we got that going for us. But you know, they're making a comeback here. If they get their Super Bowl, then who knows? It sets up pretty interesting for next year. So
they are calling the Cam Newton Russell the Cam Newton Russell Wilson rivalry the new Tom Brady Peyton Manning. What do you think about that?
I like it. I like it because, unlike Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, there's a dichotomy to the players involved here. You know, you got Russell and you got Cam. You got Cam, who's flamboyant. He's out there. Again, he's rustling people's feathers. You know, no hawk, pun intended there. And he's kind of getting under people's skin, making people angry. He's doing that. And you look at Russell, and he's going to Children's Hospital every Tuesday and hanging out with the kids and saying hi to the kids. And, you know, he's saying go Hawks, and he's being positive, and he's, you know, he's just doing all the complete different things as Cam Newton is. And so, but I kind of like that element. It almost, you know, especially as a Hawks fan, it gives it a good versus evil element to it. And that's kind of nice. It definitely contributes to that. And they have that going against him, but they have very similar play on the field. You know, they're both guys who can pick up that first down with their feet, and, you know, they're making smart decisions, play smart and whatnot. So that's kind of interesting too. They have it's kind of both sides of the coin with these two. So, I mean, we'll see who, again, it's just going to come. We'll see what happens next year. Maybe they'll be in it. It's fucking tough to keep getting back like we've been doing. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a down year or two. Hate to be real, guys, but who knows? We'll see what happens. But it should be a fun Super Bowl, though, I guess. It's a good reason to party always, right? So.
Oh, yeah, always.
Yeah.
Always a reason to party. Doesn't matter what team is. I mean, I've always said that I've always said that the day after the Super Bowl needs to be a fucking holiday.
Yeah. At least like a half day. At least like a, hey, can we start at like 11, 12, somewhere in there, you know?
Or 2 o'clock in the morning for me.
Yeah. God. Should be fun to watch, though. Can't wait for that one. So we're getting into it pretty deep on this one, you guys. All right. We're kind of, basically we're looking at this. Me and this guy have been fucking talking about this for all night long, but we're going to go deep here on some music shit. This guy has some interesting 90s comparisons here, and he's breaking it down for us.
I love the 90s, by the way. If no one hasn't known yet, I love the fucking 90s. And I am, when it comes to 90s music, there are 2 years that stand out to me where there was just hit after hit after hit. And I'm talking about 1994 and 1999.
Damn.
1990 motherfucking nine.
Damn, Bill, the Clinton days, huh? The Clinton, those were the golden years, weren't they?
Oh yeah,
for more than just politics and
busting nuts on
illicit on affairs in the White House. They were more than just that. So okay, so what's the, so you got 94 and you got 99. So who's the heavy hitters here? Break it down for us.
Oh man, you got 1994. The Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die album.
Oh boy, there's some heat.
Ready to Die album.
One long suicide note.
Yes, because when I die, fuck it, I want to go to hell.
Who else we got? That was a big one.
Oh, and the classic one. No. If not one of, but the greatest hip-hop album of all time. And it's one of my personal favorites, Nas's Illmatic.
Mm, wow. That's definitely a good one. Was he 18 when that shit came out?
Yeah, he was around there.
God damn.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours.
Yeah, dude. As a youngster, just laying it down, that's definitely a good CD. You got to give him props. I mean, who the fuck even wants to hear what an 18-year-old has to say about anything? Are you kidding me? Well, and that shit's actually interesting to listen to.
Well, at the time, I mean, that was like the average age for a hip-hop artist.
That's true. They were breeding him pretty young at that point.
Soulja Boy, well, I don't fucking count him as a hip-hop artist. Fucking Soulja Boy came out when he was 16.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Soulja Boy, that bullshit.
Yeah, no, that guy, fucking poser, dude. Yeah, so who else? Come on, keep breaking it down.
Weezer. Weezer, man. Buddy Holly.
Okay. All right, that kind of was their breakout. Yeah. Okay, so what about 99 here? What are we comparing this shit to?
99 was, I said this on our Facebook page and our Twitter account. I said that 99 was probably the better year, and I'll tell you why. It's kicked off with Eminem's Slim Shady LP. Man, that had probably one of his biggest singles. Hi, my name is what? My name is who? My name is
Chicken. The song that started it all. The white rapping revolution.
Yeah.
You know, I think one that you missed for 94, though. I think you missed. Was it Nirvana? Did they have a CD that year? Was it. Which one was it? Was it Nevermind? Am I saying that?
No, not Nevermind came out in 92.
Okay.
But Kurt Cobain committed suicide in 94.
Oh, okay. So good year for the band then. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I want to get your point of view. You were living here in Seattle then, and
true statement.
Yeah, and I was still in Atlanta, and Kirker. Unfortunately, Atlanta has a huge black population and a big hip hop scene. So Kurt Cobain's death really didn't hit the community that I was in at the time really hard. Compared to here, I mean, if you want to give a flashback to some of our viewers who are mainly Seattleites and were possibly living here at the time, or if they weren't, how was the mood? How was it?
Well, they were kind of the group that got the younger generation involved in the grunge scene. I mean, there was kind of some other bands that were doing a sound similar to that. You had Pearl Jam that came from here, and they were definitely big. They had a lot of hits, and then you had Nirvana after that. And me personally, I don't know why, I had older siblings, so this was probably a big part of it, but I was always a big hip hop guy. I wasn't really into the grunge that much. I think we were just a little bit too young for that kind of demographic of music. I think I was just a few years behind, me and my brother. And I mean, even though I got into hip hop when I was pretty young, I was probably like 8 or 9 years old when I like legitimately started listening to it. But that was just our thing, but it definitely had a big effect around here. I mean, he's a local guy, and you know what? I've been hearing I don't know the name of it. I can't think of the name from off the top of my head, but there's a documentary on Netflix, I believe, about his death and everything, and it sounds like a lot of people out there saying that maybe Miss Courtney Love isn't quite so innocent. I know it's hard to think that she could ever do anything that malicious.
Is it,
you know, she's such a sane,
bleach?
I think it might be. She's such a sane and rational person all the time and doesn't do anything erratic or strange. How could she ever be involved in some kind of crazy act like that?
I actually saw Soaked in Bleach.
You saw it, really?
Yes, okay. I saw it, and it was a jaw dropper. And I hope the new chief of police, you know, down the line really considers opening back up that case. And my girlfriend who's lived here all of her life, she was telling me that Kurt Cobain back in, like, his death in 94 was like the first major celebrity death here in Seattle. And the police, unfortunately, did not know how to handle that. They didn't know how to handle a case like that. So, you know, and when they went to the crime scene, you know, he was living on his house is on Lake Washington, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So when they went there, you know, when they went into that room, they saw his body. They saw the shotgun. I think, you know, they automatically ruled it a suicide. They didn't really. You know, they didn't really, like, go in depth and see if there was any other cause of it. And that's what she was telling me. They automatically ruled it a suicide. Everyone knew that he was a junkie. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew that, you know, he didn't look like the most upbeat, happiest guy. You know? So they automatically ruled it a suicide. But after watching Soaked in Bleach, I don't think Courtney was there when he died, but I would not be surprised if she hired some smart, high-class hitman or whatever to get the job done.
Wow, yeah, I haven't seen the documentary yet, but
you have to see it.
I'm going to have to definitely check it out. But yeah, you're saying basically the same thing that everybody else has said about it. And I mean, who knows? She was not a great artist, not a very successful artist, but she had some money to throw around. And I'm sure if you know somebody who's good at doing that kind of thing, I'm sure they don't mind, you know, taking 25, 30 grand to make it happen. That's, you know, for the amount of hours they probably have to put in, probably a pretty good hourly rate, you know? So that's not the craziest thing to think that happened. And he was a junkie, like you said. He had a problem. A lot of artists like that do, who have such a great and unique sound. You know, unfortunately, it's just kind of one of the things. You got guys like Jimi Hendrix, you know, just a ton of people. The Stone Temple Pilots, their lead singer just died. I can't recall his name off the top of my head, but he just died. But that's usually how a lot of those people end up passing if they are a serious junkie. It's from an overdose. It's not from a fucking shotgun blast through your dome. I mean, yeah. Gotta make you wonder. I don't know. That's some fucked up shit. I mean, she's a fucking nutcase. She's obviously a nutcase. Have you seen those roasts that she's on? I mean, it's like, how fucked up are you right now? Do you not have anybody in your corner that's saying, hey, get it together, bitch. You're fucking look like a goddamn wreck right now, all right? You're about to embarrass yourself in front of millions of people, all right? Pull your fucking shit together and quit acting like such a goddamn pile of shit. You crazy ass whore. There's not one I mean, I would pay, if I was that famous, I would pay somebody in my crew just to keep me honest and, you know, go around with me, and every once in a while when needed to, just have them call me a fucking piece of shit, you know? Just tell me how worthless I am, how much I think I'm better than I am, you know? I mean, you need those checks and balances in life. You need those checks and balances in life. And that's a good part about being in a relationship a lot of times, is because you do have that person who, if you're dating the right person, if need be, they'll tell you to fuck off, you know?
Yeah.
And we all need that from time to time. Every once in a while, we need people to tell us that. So, but she's losing it, though, man. Well, I mean, do you think there's any chance that they'll reopen it? Is that?
I hope so. I want to get a. I would like to see another police officer's or detective's point of view on that case. I really want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fucking 22 years ago, and like my girlfriend mentioned, you know, it was Seattle's first huge celebrity death, and they probably didn't know how to handle it. They knew he was a junkie. They saw the shotgun. They most likely ruled it a suicide. I mean, oh no, I'm sorry. They did, but they
it was,
ruled
it. It was less paperwork.
Yeah. I mean, they ruled it a suicide without really going in depth.
Yeah.
In depth into the case.
Well, who knows? Maybe they will. Maybe right after they figure out who shot Pac and Biggie, maybe they'll jump on the Cobain file. Right after that, we'll see. Who knows? But I back to our debate though on the royal 90 years of music. I got to go with you on 99. I mean, Eminem right there. That's a big one for sure. That's like you're saying. That's when he was hitting the scene. But I also got to go with that year because that's like right when the internet started to come into play, and you got Napster, and you got
fucking Napster,
file sharing, all that
fucking
shit.
Fucking Napster. And what came after Napster? What was it?
There was LimeWire.
LimeWire. That's if you wanted the risk in aging your fucking computer.
Well, yeah, you were always taking a risk. I mean, that's the thing when you're fucking getting those free music files, as many in from wherever you want them. I mean, you're taking a little risk there, but. But that shit revolutionized the way we listen to music, though, man. I mean, everything changed there. That was the first time where you didn't either have to go out and buy that hard copy CD and have that for yourself if you want that music, or get it off the radio and, you know, maybe record it if you're crafty and got the right devices for it. But that was the first time, boom, you could point and click and have music at your disposal, and that fucking changed everything, and distribution was just through the roof, and anything you wanted was available at that point.
Yeah.
And not only was it just Napster, but it was CD burning too. It was CD burning.
I was CD burning like a motherfucker back then.
Are you
man.
Kidding me? I was fucking.
I was CD burning like a motherfucker, man.
I was pirating more shit than fucking Blackbeard himself, dude. Are you kidding me? I remember when the Marshall Mathers LP came out. I was like the only person who had a CD burner at that time, only person in the school, and everybody was asking me to get that shit for him because my brother got it. He was older than me, so he got it easily. I swear to you, I probably moved 30 to 40 copies of the Marshall Mathers LP just through my school, dude. I mean, that shit was so hot back then, and we were the only ones. My brother was tech savvy. He's a tech guy now. He fucking, that lucky bastard actually found his calling, actually found something that he likes to do. But yeah, he's an IT guy still, but he got a CD burner way back in the day, and I was, everybody at the school, hey, can you give me a copy of that shit? Can you give me the copy of that new M CD? Yeah, I got you, man.
For real?
Yeah, I got you. Just, you know, so save up lunch money for a couple days. Wow. And
you're 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So I was 12 years old when it came out,
mm-hmm.
and everyone.
You were 12 when Marshall Mathers came out?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Then yeah.
I must have been 14. Oh, okay, that's probably about right, actually.
Yeah, I was 12 when the Marshall Mathers LP came out. And I lived with my mom. My mom was a huge hip-hop fan like me. And she didn't care what the fuck I listened to when it came to rap.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't. Because I've been listening to it my whole life up to then. But she would not let me listen to the Marshall Mathers LP.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And I'm going to tell a story. And mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I had to get that uncut version because you got me the censor version for Christmas, but that was just fucking pointless getting the censor version of the Marshall Mathers LP because half of it is fucking bleeped out. But anyway, no, there was a kid that lived in my neighborhood who had a CD burner. he had the uncut version of the Marshall Mathers LP, and he burnt it for me.
Nice.
And the only time I listened to it was when my mom left the house.
Yeah. You had to wait just to that. Yeah. I know. It's like the edit is, that's like the best part. That's like the best part of the CD. It's the fucking swearing and all the crazy shit they say. It's not even the same. It's like listening to a DMX song. It's edited. Half of it's not even words. It's just going to be blank. It's going to be blank spots where there should have been words, where he's yelling and screaming fucking obscenities, you know? That's the essence of it. That's the essence is the bad language. And some of the shit they bleep out is just ridiculous now. Like some of the radio stations, some of the shit they'll cut out of the song. Like you can't even talk about a gun. You can't talk about even smoking. It's like, give me a fucking break, dude. What are we, all children here? God damn. I don't know. But yeah, it changed music. And that CD, that was... I think we have a unique perspective on the whole hip-hop situation. First off, because we liked it. And secondly, because it hit us at a perfect point in our life.
Yeah.
You know, when we were coming into being teenagers and we were starting to get rebellious and we were starting to question everything and we were starting to say, hey, why do we got to do all this shit like you guys say we're doing here? You know, maybe we want to do things a little differently. And I think it really touched our hearts at that particular age when we were first exposed to it.
I feel like Eminem was like the voice of the voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly feel that. And that's why he's my favorite rapper. You know, I've been a fan of his since 1999. And I feel like a lot of people today can't say that. I've stuck with this man since...
Thick and thin.
Yes. Yes. And I remember during like the mid-2000s when he was going through a rough time in his life and he just stepped away from music. And that's when all that shitty hip-hop music came out. Fucking Soulja Boy. Meet me at the club. It's going to all that shitty. It was cool.
The tall tea rap.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to listen to in the club, you know, because it got all the women on the dance floor shaking their asses and shit. But it was shit that I could not listen to while I'm driving in my car. It wasn't. And I remember in 2008 when Eminem dropped that "I'm Having a Relapse" freestyle. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. He's back. And then he mentioned that he was going to release an album in 2009. But, I mean, going back to 1999 with the Slim Shady LP, you know, it was a great album. I think it really wasn't My Name Is that caught me, that really drew me to him. It was Guilty Conscience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good song.
The storytelling and how Dr. Dre, who was, you know, who was the good conscience and Eminem was like, no, fuck that, shoot that bitch, steal that shit. Fuck that, shoot that bitch.
That was what made him great, man. That's what made him great. Yeah, I mean,
he was so rebellious, he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
he was from Detroit. He wasn't from California. Like the majority of West Coast artists, he wasn't from New York. Like the majority of East Coast artists, Detroit. I mean, Detroit is so fucking gritty. Like it's a different type of gritty from Brooklyn, Queens, Compton. I mean, because you know, unlike Brooklyn, Queens, you know, the Harlem. Unlike those the ghettos there. They have Times Square as their out, you know, as their outlet, as you know, man. I mean, we can still make it. And Compton, Long Beach, you know, their outlet was, you know, downtown LA, Hollywood. You know, that's the perfect, you know, that was a perfect outlet, man. I mean, if we work our ass off, you know, we can make it there. Whereas in Detroit, I mean, seriously, I mean, what the fuck is in Detroit to motivate?
you're going to make it in Detroit, and that means you live in a neighborhood where the lights don't go out at night. The street lights actually stay on.
Yeah.
That's Make It in Detroit. Yeah, you're right, and it's from, and I think that kind of played into the fact that he was like the first big white rapper too. You know, it was like this guy, he'd come from shit. You know, it didn't matter where he was from. He wasn't East Coast, he wasn't West Coast. Like you're saying, he just came from some shit, and he had some shit to talk about, and he was fucking raw because of it. You know,
yeah,
and like he's talking about, you know, he probably got his ass kicked after school a lot of times when he was young.
Oh,
you know?
He did.
Got fucked with. I mean, you know, that shit probably happened to him. So, but yeah, he came out on that time, and it was good timing for us. I mean, he connected with us, no question about it. So,
and going back to the Marshall Mathers LP, that is probably, no, it is my favorite hip hop album of all time. It was an album between 6th, 7th, and 8th grade that I listened to nonstop. I grew up, like him, I grew up in an environment where I was the only black kid, and I couldn't go through one day in high school without hearing the word nigger.
Wow.
Yeah. I used to hear all the time, you know, oh, I'm black. Oh, we're shy. White kids used to tell me, I'm blacker than you. I'm like, motherfucker, do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like to walk down the street with a white woman or a white girl and get go to hell looks? Do you know what that's like? Do you know what it's like to be oppressed? Fuck no, you're not blacker than me. Fuck no, you're not.
But they could freestyle way better than you, though, man.
Hey, man.
So that makes them blacker, right?
No. You know?
They got rhymes for days.
Marshall can. No, but, I mean, he was just so, you know, like I said, he was the voice of the voiceless, and he was just so fucking angry, like I was back then, and I can just relate to that. And, one of my favorite things that he said on D12's Devil's Night album, he said, "Try to stop it, but you can't do this. This whole generation of kids blowing out their fucking brains through this Kurt Cobain music." And I'm just like, oh, like that anger, man. Like I used to listen to that shit before football games when I played football. Like I still do. To this day, not the way that I did back in high school. I mean, back in high school and junior high, because I'm not the angry, socially awkward, weird black kid anymore. But
he's still socially awkward, but he's very nice about it now, at least. So yeah. So that is definitely improved.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting, man. You say you're kind of the voiceless, and I hear you. You know, people giving you shit for, oh, you're not black enough. Oh, what should I do? Do I need to sag my pants lower? Huh? Do I need to say, hey, yo, what's up, dog?
What's up,
hey,
no.
Yo, what's happening, bro? I mean, what are you supposed to do here, huh? I'm sorry, I'm not fucking black enough for you. Jesus Christ.
You're gay. Why? Because I fucking talk proper? Negative stereotype on black men, I just never understood.
Yeah, why am I not black enough? Because I'm not asking enough questions? Or what's the deal here, huh? I mean, that shit's fucking ridiculous. And you know what? That's just junior high and high school kids, because there was a couple of kids at my school we said that to. I mean, we weren't too malicious about it, you know, but we threw that kind of shit out there. But that's just dumb shit that fucking high school kids say, you know.
Well, I told you the high school I went to, was the mascot were the Rebels, the school flag was a Confederate flag, and our fight song was Dixie.
I just imagine your fights. Get them colored folks! Get them! Get them! Fight!
Yeah. Beat that nigger down!
literal fight song, fuck.
Yeah.
But no, so while we're talking about music, I wanted to talk about, I saw a movie this weekend, first time.
For the first time.
For the first
time. It was the hottest movie in the summer.
That shit,
and this
so
motherfucker
hot.
Saw it for the first time a couple days ago, fuck, which pisses me off.
There's no special effects. I'm not paying $10 to go see that shit in the theater, all right? I mean, there's some good rap lyrics, but no, I checked out Straight Outta Compton for the first time, and that was quite the experience there. It was good to kind of get a little bit of a breakdown about some shit that I didn't realize was going on behind the scenes there. You know, I kind of knew the story a little bit, but it was interesting though because they were like you got to kind of give them credit. I mean, there were some other people on the scene, no question, but you kind of got to give them the credit for starting the whole gangster rap thing. You know, I mean, there was weird, goofy, you know, crazy sound effects, Run DMC, all that kind of stuff.
Whoa, but, whoa, whoa. That was not queer and goofy.
No, I didn't say queer, like weird. I said like weird, you know, weird ass sound effects, 80s bullshit, you know, and all that kind of stuff kind of going on. I said the hip, the hop, the hip, the hip, the hip, you know, like that. I mean, you know, that's
a fucking... Wait, it's rappers fine, but delight.
It's fine, but it's not like a hardcore rap song though. You
yeah,
know? It's not like a gangster. You know, fuck the Pope, fuck the police, fuck. I mean, that shit. That's you know, you're stepping it up there. Okay, we're elevating the situation a notch. We're turning things up here a little bit. Okay, this ain't no goofy shit. People in fucking Adidas jumpsuits. All right, these guys are some fucking hardcore motherfuckers, but. Yeah, that was an interesting story to, I mean, think of just so much talent on one team like that, you know? I mean, I guess it couldn't last forever, obviously, because you got such crazy egos and in a situation and in an industry where, you know, a lot of times you got to prove yourself. You got to fucking puff your chest up and be ready to fucking throw down. I mean, the theme of the movie was pretty much at any moment a fight is it could break out, you know, like no matter what's going on, especially when you got fucking Suge Knight in the picture. Jeez, here I mean, that guy's a fucking just a straight up thug, the old school style, just beat yeah. anybody up, do whatever the fuck. I mean, the guy muscled his way into the music industry, basically. He just you know, it's like a business that people thrive on potentially fucking other people over. And he said, yeah, I could definitely excel at doing this. This is definitely something I could get into. God, that guy's fucking... Did you see that video of him hitting that guy in the car?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That guy... I can't believe it's taken this long for that motherfucker to have to go to jail. Hopefully for forever. Hopefully.
Lock the fuck... Throw away the fucking key on him.
Or fucking shot. I mean, geez, it's like the most scummy and most grimy motherfuckers out there seem to be the ones who live the longest. They're like fucking cockroaches. They don't die. These people don't die. The worst of the worst, like this guy. And he'll probably go to jail for fucking. He'll probably go to jail for 15 years. He'll probably get through it, get out, and he'll probably still be a fucking piece of shit. I mean, he'll probably never die. He'll probably live to be 100, you know, with diabetes for the last 30 fucking years of his life.
He is a big motherfucker.
Oh my God. That was a good, I was surprised with how they did with the casting, you know. I didn't realize at first that it was Ice Cube's son. So I was like,
"Wait."
I was like,
"No, you did not know that was Ice Cube's son."
At first.
You couldn't tell the fuck resemblance at first?
Well, no, that's what I was like, "Holy shit." I was like, "Whoever the fucking casting director was on this fucking thing." This motherfucker deserves a raise, all right? He nailed it. I couldn't believe it. And he even sounded like him, too. I was like, holy shit. But, yeah, that was an interesting story, man. It's so weird to me that we have those little pockets of bad neighborhoods, like you're saying, like, you know, Compton, Watts, South Central. It's crazy that we have those little pockets of such crime-ridden areas in this country, in the United States. I can't even imagine, you know, like we have some areas around here where there's, you know, there's some homeless people and some shady shit going on, but nothing where you're like really fearing for your life. But down there, there's probably some neighborhoods where even driving through with the windows rolled up and you're probably a little bit nervous, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit nervous. You're watching those rearview mirrors pretty frequently. While you're at the stoplight, you're checking those mirrors quick. Make sure no motherfuckers are running up on you. I mean, it's crazy, but who knows? Maybe that's the environment you need to produce that kind of raw emotion that comes with fucking hardcore gangster rap like that, man. Maybe that's the only environment that produces that kind of you know, fucking just... utter and raw material that comes out of these guys. Maybe they're just a product of their environment. I don't know. It's crazy, but I tell you, I got a lot more respect, man. And I was telling you earlier, I think I seen the movie Top Five with Chris Rock. Pretty good movie. It had some good laughs, good cast. And, you know, the whole theme of the movie, though, I thought it was like a Friends thing, but the whole theme of the movie is top five rappers. And I got to tell you, after watching this movie, I think Ice Cube quietly snuck into my top five rappers of all time.
I think he's one of the greatest of all time, but I wouldn't put him in any top five list.
You don't think he makes the cut?
No.
Who's your top five? Let me hear
my top five is Jay-Z.
Huh?
Yes, Hov. Nas, Biggie, Pac, and Eminem.
Certainly very, very reasonable. Very reasonable. I don't know. I feel like Pac was great. You know, obviously, I feel like his reign was just too short-lived, you know? I mean, that's not his fault. Certainly not his fault. But you look at a guy like Eminem, who we both agreed, there's no question he deserves to be in the top five. Where you want to put him exactly, if you're going in order, that's up to you. But I just feel like, you know, he was around for a while. He's been around for a while. Pac, he had short-lived, you know? We come back to the whole fucking Suge Knight thing.
Well, no, he had... Okay, well, Pac, me and my dad were talking about this. Pac had, he had Strictly for My Niggas, Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, and he had the Machiavelli album. That's four albums, mm-hmm. And he had how many albums after his death? He had like, he has like...
the unreleased stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, his legacy will always live for it. Whereas in Big only had two albums up until his death.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad always says, well, don't get me wrong, Big was hot. Mm-hmm. Big was good. But he only released two albums before he died.
Yeah.
And my dad always questions, would he have fell off, or would he have still kept that claim to fame as one of the best in the East Coast or the best in the game?
Yeah. You got to wonder. You know, you got to wonder. Unfortunately, you got to just kind of wonder about it. Because I think I put him in the top five too, but your dad makes a good point. I mean, you know, to be that top tier performer and rapper like that, you got to not only be coming out with hot shit, but you got to be doing it over and over and over again. If you're going to be, I mean, you look at Jay-Z, and me personally, I don't think he makes my top five, to be honest, but I do respect the fact that guy has put out a fucking shit ton of material.
Yes.
And his CDs always have a couple of hot tracks. There's no question about it. You know, maybe not the whole thing, but they got at least a couple. You're like, okay, I gotta crank this one up a little bit. This is a fucking good jam right here. So I'll give him that. But I mean, yeah, it's tough for those guys. It's unfortunate, you know, they got taken before their time. And that whole situation, you know, we were talking about diss albums earlier too, and that whole thing just blew up and it just got out of proportion. And what do you know? The two biggest hitters in the game at that time, at least. And, you know, they're fucking gone. So it's a damn shame. But you get so many egos in that business, and it was exploding too. You know, the exposure that they were getting and the amount of people who were following it. You know, all the white kids started listening to the rap music after that too. And it was just exploding, and it was a power vacuum, and it just escalated. And, you know, everybody's always trying to prove themselves and see what they got. So and that was the thing with the movie. Literally, it seemed like every single scene, there was like a 10-15% chance that a fight was going to break out. Always. It's like, how can you guys always be fired up like this all the time? You know, just fucking get along, all right? You guys are artists. You guys are good at what you're doing, and just fucking focus on that and quit all the bullshit. But then again, we got a party with a bunch of hot bitches and a bunch of money and a bunch of booze. I guess things tend to get a little crazy, you know? Tend to get a little bit crazy. So, but yeah, that was fuck, those were some of the good years for music in general. It's kind of crazy because we're like the first babies of rap and hip hop, you know? So yeah. we're going to be some of the first people who are going to be like 50, 60, 70 years old in that like throwback music that we grew up on. Was some fucking Notorious B.I.G. Life After Death. You
that
know?
Is
throwback. Hypnotized.
Life After Death came out in 1997, which means it's 19 years old. So that's considered throwback already.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's gonna be interesting. But we still like it. You know, my brother got me on the shit. He was an older brother. Like I said, he sold me that album, Ready to Die. It was the first album I ever bought. And I was like fucking pumped. I was like, oh my God, I got some shit here. I got some fucking shit. I'm 9 years old. My other friends, their fucking parents won't even let them listen to this shit. All they'll get them is the edited version. And I'm not even trying to fuck with that. I bought this shit from my brother. You know, he got me in. And I was watching the movie with him. And we appreciate this shit. And we look on it and we say, sometimes it's fucking ridiculous. Sometimes it's misogynistic. Sometimes it's fucking bullshit. Because all they're doing is talking about how much fucking money they have. And that's the only shit. But you know what? We grew up on it. And it's always going to have that little place in my heart. However fucking ridiculous it is, or stupid, or whatever you want to call it, it's always going to have that place for me, you know? And it's going to bring you back to those times, and you can't beat that. You can't beat that. It's a part of life. So it's always going to be there. And again, you know, these guys, they did all these diss tracks and everything, and it just shows you that competition can be a good thing a lot of times. It can be a good thing. You got all these guys coming at each other. These guys said something about that. They're talking about this, that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, these guys are fucking bringing the heat, trying to come at each other, trying to one-up each other, and that's how you get this explosion of just incredible rap music, you know? It's all that competition. Everybody's fighting for a piece of the pie, and everybody's got to step their game up if you want to get in here. You know, Eazy-E was all up in it, and NWA doing good, and then he kind of fucking dropped off. He kind of dropped off a little bit, you know? I mean, like you said, he wasn't even...
Well, Suge Knight picked up Dre... And that was like the last piece of NWA.
I mean, it kind of was. There was nothing to stabilize it, you know, or to hold it up. And yeah, that's kind of unfortunate because I mean, for anybody to fucking get in on that, you got fucking Suge Knight. I mean, give me a break.
That piece of shit.
God damn, no shit. But yeah, it was good. That was a good movie. Definitely a good movie. It was interesting how they did it. They didn't really ham it up. You know, I was waiting for there to be like some kind of adversity, and there was bits of it throughout the movie. You know, Ice Cube broke off and then some other shit, but I was waiting for it to happen, and it kind of did when it came to Eazy-E and him dying. But I kind of like the fact that it didn't ham it up too much, you know, just to have it go along the right storylines for a typical movie that, you know, you see in the theater. So I definitely kind of appreciated that from them.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. I'm kind of pissed off that you didn't see the director's cut, because I'm waiting to see that.
Yeah, well, shit, I'm gonna have to check it out. But yeah, no, they got that shit. I don't know. I mean, do you think it should have deserved a nod for the Oscars?
Don't get me started on that.
Well, no, we're gonna get into this shit. We gotta talk about this.
Do you honestly think a 60-plus year old white male would vote for Straight Outta Compton?
You know, maybe he's open minded. Well, who knows? He might be open minded. You never know. I don't know. I think maybe. I mean, it's, you know, it's borderline. It was good. It was certainly worth watching. Was it best of the best? I don't fucking know, but what's up with these Oscars though, man? Everybody's all upset. Jada Pinkett's upset. Will's talking about it. Who else? Spike Lee isn't happy. I mean, he never.
We want
seems to
more
be too
diversity
happy, but...
when it comes to voting for Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're asking for.
I didn't really look too much into all the nominees and everything. But I mean, who? I don't know who got snubbed. That's my thing. Like, who got snubbed?
Michael B. Brown from
what was he in?
From Creed.
From oh
yeah,
okay.
He played Apollo Creed's son, and the only person who got a nomination nod was
Sylvester.
Sylvester.
See, that's just kind of that's the old guard there, man. You know, that's the old guard. That's the guys who have been doing this for a long time, been in the business, been calling the shots. That's just them saying that Sly, you know, he's getting up there. We haven't given him. That's kind of a gimme. That's kind of a gimme. You've been around for a while. We're going to kind of throw one at you here. I think if that series of movies had a little bit more integrity, too, I think that might have changed things for him. But, goddamn, they have just they've beaten that fucking dead horse into a pile of mush. All right, just a pile of bloody guts. That's all it is. I mean, who knows? And they'll probably squeeze one more out of it. I don't fucking know. They'll probably put it into a sausage and make something out of it. But, I mean, I hear what you're saying there. And I didn't see the movie, but I'm going to guess that Stallone probably didn't do that great. You know, I mean, he's probably all right. But I don't know. I hate when we have these big discussions and these everybody's outraged and upset when we're talking about who did the best job at pretending to be somebody else. I mean, it's not the fucking Nobel Peace Prize here that we're deciding, you know, it's who pretended to be somebody that they're not better than anybody else. You know, I understand if you want to get a little fired up and yes, diversity is good, but I mean, 2 years ago, 12 Years a Slave got like, I think it was like 9 Oscar nods. So I don't even know if there was a movie that did that good this year. So I don't know. It's just out of all the things to be outraged, it's like we're not choosing wisely. We're not choosing our outrage wisely, I feel like, these days.
Why?
We don't have enough serious
time
problems.
Time out. Why is it not okay to be outraged about multiple things? And I didn't get, for instance, Janet something Witten.
Reno?
No. The original Vivian Banks on Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She pretty much responded. She pretty much responded to Jada Pinkett's video and said, look, there's people dying in Flint, and you're fucking bitching about the Oscars. Who fucking said that they weren't worried about what was going on in Flint? Seriously. Why is it in our society that when someone or a celebrity they raise awareness for something that isn't really important or something that we can't really relate on a non-celebrity level, but we're like, oh my gosh, there's so many, you know, why are you worried about this? There's so much shit going on in the world. Who says that they're not fucking concerned about it? You know, the Oscars is the pinnacle of getting recognized in that line of work. It's the fucking pinnacle. That means a lot to them. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It means a lot to them. So I understand why Jada and other African American actors and directors and actresses, why they're upset. I understand that. Like, for example, if I was still in high school and the athletic director had a athletes award banquet, and all the black athletes didn't get at least nominated or didn't win anything, you know, I would raise some questions, especially if no one got nominated. And yeah, I mean, not only him, Michael B. Jordan got snubbed. The director for Creed got snubbed. Will Smith, they're saying he got snubbed for a concussion.
Yeah, I think with concussion, I think the NFL had played a hand in that, and they kind of controlled the things that they were let them get away with and let them talk about in that. And I think that definitely kind of hurt his chances as far as that went. But there's some other dynamics going on, I believe. This is just my guess. I don't really know the scene all that well, but I'm guessing the fact, like you're talking about with Creed, I'm guessing the fact that, you know, he's a young actor. He's new on the scene, relatively new. He's been in a couple movies, in the Fantastic Four. He was in a couple others. And I just don't think you're going to get, they're not going to give you an Oscar that easily for a role that's like that. I think they want you to earn it.
Jamie Foxx.
They want you to earn
Jamie,
it a little more.
And ironically, Jamie Foxx is black. Jamie Foxx got Best Actor for playing Ray Charles back in 2005. And before that role, Jamie Foxx was known as a comedian. So, no fucking excuses.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason, what helped Jamie Foxx get that nomination and that win was because Ray Charles is respected.
Well, and not that was the fucking role that Jamie Foxx was born to play. He was born to play. His grandma forced him to learn to play piano when he was a kid. And he's a fucking true performer. That guy can just do it all. He does stand up, he can sing, he can act. The guy that he was made to play that role. And that's why he fucking killed it. He knocked that shit out of the park. He knows how to play piano, so it wasn't even a stretch for him to learn that shit. And he can do a mannerisms. He can do an impression. I mean, the guy was made to play that role. And yeah, he fucking deserved it. Because he knocked it out of the park. I mean, it was just perfect. And Ray Charles, and you're right. The fact that Ray Charles is respected, that's a big part of it too. It's a big part of it too. All these things are factors, but again, it all came together perfectly, and it was no question. And he fucking got it. And that guy is my fucking idol, dude. Like I said, that guy does it all. Okay, he'll sing, he does stand up, he can do sketch comedy, he'll fucking act. The guy can do it all. God damn it! And I listened to a podcast, and he was on with Tim Ferriss, and you know how he got his name, Jamie Foxx. You know how that came to be?
How?
He would go, I don't know exactly where, he'd go somewhere in California, Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store or something like that, whatever, and he wasn't getting up, and he was getting pissed because he was funny, you know? He can do impressions, he can do a little skit, he did Wanda and all that shit, and so he's good. He can make he can entertain the crowd, but they wouldn't give him any time. They wouldn't let him up. So he noticed that most of the girls that would show up for open mic would usually get up. So he used a name that could go both ways. You know, something that could be a guy and be a girl potentially. And what did he come up with? Jamie Foxx. And sure enough, he got on stage and the guy fucking crushed it. Clearly he crushed it. So good for him. I mean, the guy's just a performer, man. He's a fucking performer and he's somebody who deserves to be as rich as he is. Because the guy's got some goddamn skill. So I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens next year. I mean, the interesting thing to me is Spike Lee's complaining he's not showing up, which, you know, for all of you out there, probably most of you really, who were just going to watch the Oscars to see Spike Lee, you probably shouldn't even watch now, you know, because he's not going to be there. So there won't be any point. You know, I'm sure a lot of people are really heartbroken about that. But he's getting all upset, though, and I'm pretty sure he got an honorary Oscar a year or two ago. An honorary, you know, it's like, and again, it comes down
to keyword honorary.
Yeah, but it comes back to the old guard. I mean, if Stallone gets an Oscar this year, that will be an honorary Oscar. I promise you, man. They might not call it that, but that's what it'll fucking be. Okay. It's just, you know, you pay your dues and there's more multiple factors here. I don't know. And like Aunt Viv saying, maybe we got better things to be outraged about right now.
There is no such thing.
I don't know.
There is such thing as being concerned for more than one issue.
I agree. We have the mental capacity for it, but oh man, I'm big on picking your spots. I'm big on picking your spots. We all only have so much energy. It's not a renewable resource as much as Monster and Red Bull would like to tell you. We only have so much energy and we have to focus it on the most important things. So I guess that's up to each of us as individuals to decide what those important things are though. So, but dude, you're about to pass out over there, man. You're fucking fading quick. Dude.
I am not
you
fading.
You are fading quick. They worked you to the bone today, didn't they? Jesus.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, kind of, sort of.
Sounds rough. Holy shit. All right, well, we're gonna let you guys go here. It's getting late, so we're gonna start losing our shit here. But yeah, we got into it this week. It was a little slow on the news, but we got deep on the music, so hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to it. And you know, like we always say, guys, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. You guys are the best thing we got going right now, and we're gonna try to keep it spicy and keep it flavorful for you here, keep it nice and succulent, so you guys keep coming back for more. And yeah, we appreciate the shit out of you though, guys, so keep on listening. We'll keep at it here. I am Slim,
and I am Shoddy. Tune in next week, and we are out.
See you guys.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.